Home, town, hero. Chapter 5.
Plump and juicy. The hot dog sizzle on the roller grill. Laffy Taffy pulls teeth out. The soda sizzles. Though in Circleville, it's referred to simply as. It's 4th and 8. QB calls a huddle. Well, behind the goalposts, 3 boys toss a ball.
No shit.
Says Bull, short obese boy with the bowl cut.
How old are you gonna be? 13.
Says Red, freckles, awkward on his feet. Butterfingers, dropping the ball.
Hell, we should get some beer and celebrate,
says Link, a rather tall boy from the 7th grade, with spiked hair and an overbite.
I know a guy who will buy us some beer,
says Red.
Shit right you do. Who?
Ask Bull.
Streaker,
says Red.
Streaker?
Ask Link.
How do you know Streaker?
Ask Bull.
Just dude,
says Red.
He bought beer for me before.
Meanwhile, across town, in a small industrial district, standing before a full-length mirror in a sparse second-story warehouse. Streaker, an odd man in his mid-40s, with round Coke bottle glasses, mumbles to himself as he tries on a short brown trench coat. His shaven legs are exposed all the way down to his patterned socks and Oxford shoes. He then tries on a long gray trench coat that hangs nearly to his ankles. He exchanges it for a black one, lined and insulated, that drops just below the knees. And then a yellow waterproof one. And a wool one. But it itches his bare ass. So he tries an Aberdeen. And then a khaki drill. A poplin. And a twill weave. But he settles for a standard go-to. A black single breast with classic details that lands directly above the kneecap. With a knock at the door, he ties its belt and peers out the peephole.
Hey. If I give you $5, can you buy us some beer?
Asks Red, as Bull and Link stand to his left and right, yet a step behind. As Streaker in his trench coat says,
I told you boys, no more beer. Not again. Not after last time. Not after what you guys did. It wasn't me, I swear. It was the other boys that did that. I remember you,
says Streaker.
Go ask the new nigga for some beer.
Shutting the door in their faces. Streaker then walks back to the mirror. He takes a look at the lump above his left eyebrow and applies some foundation to the bruise that has not yet healed. Above Cha-Cha's hair salon, a TV blares as FBI agent Mulder walks from the urinal to the sink to wash his hands. Another man leaves the restroom. Mulder bends down to rinse his face and then gets up and dries it. He sees in the mirror a man standing behind him, the same man that was watching him from the bar, and Mulder turns to face him. Deep throat.
Leave this case alone, Agent Mulder.
Mulder.
What?
Deep throat.
The military will not tolerate an FBI investigation.
Mulder.
Who are you?
Deep throat.
I can be of help to you. I've had a certain interest in your work.
There is a knock at the door. Distracted from his favorite series, New Nicker hollers.
What?
He sits in a recliner, bald, thick glasses, eyeballs like a fish in a fish tank. Silver mustache, no chin to speak of, significant pot belly and a yellowed tank top, exposing his Audi belly button. He doesn't move an inch as the boys enter. The old perv lives at the last door on the right, at the end of the hall. New Nicker hasn't reported his new address to the authorities. He's laying low. And they seem to have forgotten his existence for the time being.
Shut the door,
he shouts as the boys enter, keeping his eyes glued to the screen. Red, in the lead, says,
Streaker said you'd buy us some beer.
What the hell is Streaker now?
New Nicker shushed him with a quick wave in the air. Voice.
Sorry.
Mulder.
How do you know about my work?
Deep throat.
Well, let's just say I'm in a position to know quite a lot of things. Things about it, Governor.
Mulder.
Who are you? Who do you work for?
Deep throat.
It's unimportant. I came here to give you some valuable advice. You are exposing yourself and Agent Skolnick to unnecessary risk. I advise you to drop the case.
Mulder.
I can't do anything.
Deep Throat.
Don't jeopardize the future of your own efforts.
The man leaves as Mulder rushes out after him. He is obstructed by another man trying to come into the restroom. Mulder pushes past and runs out into a bar. When he looks around, he sees no sign of the man that he was talking to. Neunecker coughs violently and tosses forward in his recliner. His toes curl in his threadbare socks as he asks,
"And what are you going to do for me?"
"I'll give you $5,"
says Red, as Bull and Lank wait by the door. Neunecker finally takes a look at the young boys and grins, saying,
"Come in, come in."
With a change of attitude.
"Make yourselves at home."
As he puts the footrest down on his recliner.
"Have a seat. Hey, Redhead, grab a few beers from the fridge."
"Sweet,"
says Red, as Bull and Lank sit cross-legged on the green carpeted floor.
"You boys like X-Files?"
asks Neunecker.
"Yeah, it's cool,"
says Lank.
"Yeah, sure."
Bull agrees, as Red returns with 4 cans of Coors.
"So what are you boys up to tonight?"
asks Neunecker, as he cracks open his beer.
"It's my birthday,"
says Red.
"Your birthday? How old are you?"
asks Neunecker.
13,
says Red.
"Well, hell, cheers, boys. Let's celebrate."
And Red chugs his beer.